Hello, and welcome to another episode of Party of Ones. I'm Lori.
And I'm Rachel.
And today we are going to be talking about our favorite rom-coms.
Yes.
And we were a little bit debating about what makes a rom-com versus a chick flick. We had to really think about it.
Yeah, we had to refine our definition for each.
Yeah, so we didn't want to go into the realm of chick flick. We wanted to stay in the rom-com realm.
Yeah, but don't you worry. We've done the heavy lifting for you. So now you'll just have the smooth ride of listening for what we have from here.
Yep.
All right. So we kind of discussed, like, what's the difference between a rom-com and a chick flick? And what conclusion did we come to?
Well, I don't really think we came up with a definition of what it was, but we did say, like, movies like The Notebook are not rom-coms.
No, but a chick flick.
Also, like, Pretty Woman, not rom-com, chick flick.
I feel like chick flick is, like, the big umbrella, and rom-com is, like, a littler umbrella
subcategory
underneath that one, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree.
And I feel like it's easier to know, like, okay, well, like, that's a chick flick. That's, like, a movie obviously geared toward women.
Yeah.
But then, like, is it funny or not? And then if it's not funny, then it's not a rom-com. It's just a chick flick.
Right.
So we like, some things that we went through, like, The Notebook, Pretty Woman.
Anything by Nicholas Sparks.
Anything Nicholas Sparks.
Flick, not rom-com.
What was the other one? While You Were Sleeping?
While You Were Sleeping. I thought of another one, like Mona Lisa Smile.
Yeah. The Lake House. A lot of Sandra Bullock's movies in that era where she was being like serious chick flick acting.
Yeah.
Not rom-com. But this will be rom-com.
So what we did is we each picked our top three.
Yeah.
And there are so many to choose from. I love rom-coms. So these are going to be just our top three, but there are so many out there that are so good.
What is one of your favorite things about rom-coms?
What I love about rom-coms, which is different than the Hallmark movies, like I watch the Hallmark movies and a part of me really feels bad for myself.
Oh, I watch them and feel bad about myself.
Yeah, I feel bad.
I feel bad that this is something that I like.
Right. I feel bad that I like it. I feel bad that I don't have it. But rom-coms, I feel like, have that romantic part to it, yet I don't feel bad because they're funny.
Right.
And so I'm usually just happy when it's over. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's so nice. But I don't feel bad for myself.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to describe why I like rom-coms.
Yeah. There's something about a Hallmark movie where you feel like that could never happen, but it leaves you feeling like, sad for yourself.
Yeah.
But there's something about a rom-com where you like get so sucked into that world where like when everything ends happy, you feel that your world too is happy, even if that is not reality.
Yep.
Yeah.
And being single, we need to live vicariously through others.
So this is the best way to do it. Entertainment.
Yeah.
To experience things when we are not currently experiencing ourselves. I think one of my favorite things about rom-coms is just how easy they are to have on while other things are happening.
Oh, they're the best, like, background shows.
Yeah. So, like, if you have work to do, you can just pop one on and, like, you can attend lightly to what's happening on the screen, but you don't need to, like, it doesn't take you, like, your full attention.
Right.
Like, you're not going to miss major plot points. You're going to be able to keep up.
Right. And I've seen them so many times that I can probably say the whole movie.
Yeah.
Just without it even being on. In fact, I've turned on rom-coms before and essentially fast-forwarded to my favorite parts and skipped all the other parts and gotten the whole thing done in like 45 minutes and felt just as good.
You're like, good to go.
Now I've seen everything. Now I'm good.
That's funny. Yeah. So we narrowed to our top three and we'll just bounce back and forth and discuss those.
Do you want to go first?
I can. Well, do we want to go in ascending order
Descending order? Let's save our favorites till the end.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. So my third that made the list, and these are the ones that just, like, came to my mind the quickest. So if you're listening to this and your favorite rom-com is not included in this list, don't be offended.
We probably still like
we
it.
We probably still like
we
it.
We just didn't
it's
think
just,
of it.
I didn't think of it. So number three on my list is What Happens in Vegas. And this sticks out to me because it, like, has a romantic storyline and, like, through line, but it is probably the funniest rom-com I can think of. Like, there are things that, like, lines in that movie that I, like, think about and still, like, laugh out loud or, like, chuckle. Like,
see,
it's
and
so
I've never
good.
Seen it.
Oh, I know. And, like, I just think you, like, it's just so good. I own it on DVD, so I'll
you're
bring it
have
over
to let
sometime.
Me borrow it.
But it's like, it's Ashton Kutcher, Cameron Diaz.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes! And then, there's like, you know how in most rom-coms there's like, you know, the friend.
Yeah.
Well, in both cases, like, they both have a friend, like, who is, like, pretty heavily featured. And they're also hilarious.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, it's just good all around. And it's a good time. And it's really, really funny. And, yeah, there's things that we watched a lot when I was in college. And there's, like, still things that we will quote all the time to each other from that movie.
Yeah, I'm gonna
have to see it. It's just, it's, like, feel good. But it's also hilarious. Like, it's just, it's really good. It's one of those, like, people accidentally get married, now what movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I could get into that.
Yeah. It's really good. I like it a lot.
I like that.
And I really like Ashton Kutcher.
I do like him.
I still really like Ashton Kutcher. And this is like Ashton Kutcher days pre Mila Kunis.
Mm-hmm. During Demi Moore.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So okay. He's like young in this.
Yeah. Okay, my number three is actually, My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yes.
And I think the reason why this one made the list is, for the people who don't know, I'm Italian, and I come from a very large, loud Italian family, and we're not quite as, like, into our culture as they are in that movie.
Yes.
But the ideas of, you know, my grandma would always say, you need to find a nice Catholic Italian boy to marry. You know, you'll be happy when you find a nice Catholic Italian boy. Well, let me tell you, they're few and far between. The only nice Catholic Catholic Italian boys I know are my cousins. So that's not going to work out. But our family and the family and the movie had so many parallels.
Yeah.
And then, so I could really relate to that. And then I could really relate to the main character.
Yeah.
And she was just, like, very unsure of herself. She didn't know what she wanted to do. She was very wrapped up in her family.
Yeah.
Didn't really have her own life.
Yeah.
And then she meets John Corbett, who is... I love John Corbett.
Yeah.
I love him so much.
His hair, I gotta be honest, his hair kind of freaks me out.
But he always, a little bit, but he always just plays the nicest guys.
Yeah.
I'm always just like, I don't know if he's that way in real life.
There's something,
but,
like, really rootable about him.
Yeah.
Like, I just really like him. Yeah.
And he's not like this drop dead gorgeous hunk. He's just like this nice
guy.
Yeah,
he seems normal.
Good looking, because you learn about his personality.
Yeah.
And so I love him, and that whole relationship and how she has to hide it from her family. And there have been relationships where I have, that I've been in, not as serious as that one, but they've, like, been hidden. Like, this boy cannot go home and meet my parents, you know, things like that. And so I really relate to that. Plus, just the one-liners in there, it's same. I still repeat lines from that movie all the time.
Yeah. I remember watching that when I was, like, young. Like, I don't know, I want to say even, like, late elementary school, junior high. And, but then I rewatched it, like, later in life, and I was like, oh, this holds up. Like, I liked it when I was little,
really,
and
does.
I like it now. And I also really like about it that, like, I think a lot of times in rom-coms, or really even in chick flicks in general, there's kind of like this storyline that's, like, a little tired of, like, like, her life is terrible and meaningless, and then a man shows up,
yeah,
and now her life has meaning, and everything is okay. Yeah. And then the thing I like about My Big Fat Greek Wedding is that it's kind of a story of her and her family, and then the man that she's marrying is kind of just, like, inserted, but, like, yeah, he's not making her life, like, because, like, she gets her life, like, together. Like,
yeah, you know, well, she's living makes her life harder.
Yeah, and, like, she's already, like, living a life that, like, she's proud of. Like, she's making choices, yeah, to, like, be different than maybe who she was raised to be, or, yeah, like, you know, and it's not just, like, oh, this guy shows up and now all of her whole life is better and all put together. It's,
yeah,
it's, like, it's more of a story of, like, her journey and, like, her family, and
yeah,
I feel like that's pretty unique.
Yeah, I just really like it a lot. It's one of my favorites. I own it on DVD. I own all the ones that I'm going to mention on DVD.
As do I.
Yeah.
Which makes me kind of sad because I have a lot of DVDs, and, like, streaming has, like, killed the DVD industry, yeah, I feel.
I rarely turn on one of my DVDs.
Yeah, but I own a lot of them, and I was sad the other day because I was like, I just, like, when I think, like, oh, I have time to watch something, I'll just pull something up on Netflix,
yeah,
or on Hulu or whatever, and I don't think, like, I should watch what I have, but there's so many good ones. I was going through my drawers the other day, and I was like, oh, I really like this, and, like, oh, this is so good, and this isn't on anything, but I, like, don't think, like, oh, I should, like, pull that out and watch it.
Maybe this episode will inspire us to watch one of our DVDs.
Yeah, it'll revive us.
Maybe that should be our homework.
Okay.
Within the next 2 weeks to watch one of our DVDs.
Watch a DVD.
Yeah.
Okay. I will try.
Bringing it back.
Yeah. Or we could swap, too.
Oh, yeah, we could do a DVD swap.
I'll bring you What Happens in Vegas, for okay, sure. All right, my second one is The Proposal.
I do love this movie.
With Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
This movie was my first introduction to Ryan Reynolds as a human.
Oh, I love him.
He had been in some other stuff, but I don't really feel like I, like, remembered who, mm-hmm, he was until this movie. And then I really love Sandra Bullock. I think she's awesome.
Yeah.
And she's somebody who she does funny really well. She does serious really well. And so I watched because I really love Sandra Bullock. And it was hilarious. Like, I thought it was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
It made me laugh. And I also really love, like, I feel like the sets on this movie are so gorgeous.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Like, when they fly in to, like, because in the movie, he's from Alaska.
Yeah.
And they fly in, and, like,
it's gorgeous.
This gorgeous house. It's, like, this gorgeous backyard. It's on the water. Like, it's literally, like, I don't even know. Like, picturesque,
mm-hmm,
doesn't even, like, describe really, like, what this is. And I just feel like if that were me and some boy took me home and that's what his home looked like, I'd be done.
I'd be like,
so we live here now? Like, we're never gonna leave? Like, I can't, like, that's my dream.
Yeah.
You know, that's, like, I yeah, want someone who is connected to that kind of wealth and, like,
I know.
I, like so badly, like, the bougie part of me is just like, I want to go there, please, just let me stay.
I know.
Like,
it's true.
So badly. And, like, you know, his parents aren't the nicest people in that movie. It's his parents' house.
Yeah.
But you know what? I feel like we could win them over.
It'd be fine.
I would try.
It'd be worth the view.
I'd try really hard.
It
so
is
that's
gorgeous.
Like, that's like the first thing. The second thing, Betty White is in that movie.
I know.
She's very funny in it.
I love her.
And I, it like is a very simple plot. Very simple, like very stereotypical things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just really good and lighthearted and also, like, heartfelt. There's touching moments. But the third reason I really like it is that Ryan Reynolds is just really hot.
Oh, he's beautiful.
So it's a beautiful place.
I know.
Betty White.
Beautiful man.
Beautiful man. What else do you need?
Nothing. Absolutely
that
nothing.
Is, like, those all the ingredients.
Absolutely nothing.
To a successful rom-com and honestly, like, what I'm looking for. Parents live in a gorgeous house, have a lot of money. quirky grandma mm-hmm. who is lovable and fun to be around. Beautiful man.
Mm-hmm. Sounds perfect to me.
Done.
And the family doesn't even have to live close by because it could be a vacation spot.
Yes, you can only get there like through a lot of travel, and you can't do that very often.
Even so if
like
they're not great, you're not seeing them all the time, but yet you have a permanent place to travel to.
Yes, that you know is gorgeous.
I know.
When, a lot of times in Colorado when we go and we look at some of those houses, like that's what I think. Like,
this is
like the proposal house.
I just love... Let's take a moment for Colorado. I want to go back so bad.
Yeah, and we are really far away from a time where we're going to be able to do that. Like almost a whole year.
More than that, I can't go next year.
Oh, that's
it's
really
2 years.
I'm almost a whole year.
Yeah, you can go next year. I won't be able to go. Okay, moving on to happier time. The rom-coms aren't supposed to make us sad.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. If I move into my number two movie, it would have to be The Wedding Singer. With Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore, only because, well, many reasons, but I love the Adam Sandler-Drew Barrymore
combination.
Combo. I've loved them in everything they've done together. They did Blended together, which was a weird movie.
Funny,
but
though.
I loved it anyway. Yeah. And they did, what else? They did another one besides The Wedding Singer. Oh, 50 First Dates. Was that what it's called?
Is that
Drew Where
Barrymore?
She's,
She forgets
everything. Also love that movie. But The Wedding Singer, so the combo of those two, it's funny. I laugh a lot. And the fact that it takes place in the 80s, which was my time. Like, that was my decade.
Would you say that Wedding Singer falls in the classic rom-com category?
I would say so. It's old.
Yeah.
It's an older movie now. But just everything... They do such a good job at portraying the 80s and making fun of the 80s all at the same time. There's like one part where the bad boyfriend buys her a CD player and she's like, oh, do you want to play a record? He's like, no, it's a CD player. It cost me like $500, but it's well worth it. The sound is incredible. She's like, okay, great. I love it. I just love all that stuff about it and like the clothes and everything that they're just everything in the he's got like a car that's like a DeLorean and the doors go up and then the end like the good guy wins.
Yeah.
Like the nice guy who's not like super I don't think Adam Sandler is very attractive at all. Like
no.
The nice guy wins.
Yeah.
Well, and I love that.
And I think, too, like, the when you think of, like, rom-com, you kind of think of, like, these quintessential moments of, like, oh, that moment, like, that thing happens. And, like, that movie, I feel like, has a very clear, like, that's the, you know, like, when he's singing to her on the plane.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, oh, like, that's the moment. Or it's, like, who's the guy that, like, holds up the boom box?
And Say Anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, that's the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like The Wedding Singer falls in that category.
Yeah, it definitely does. I love that movie a lot. I own it. Again, I don't watch it if it's on DVD, yet if I find it on TV, I'll be like, oh, Wedding Singer's on. Yeah. And I'll watch it with commercials. And I have the DVD sitting right next to it, but I don't get up and put the DVD in.
No.
And I watch it wherever it started. It doesn't matter. But I do love that. I do really love that movie a lot.
That's a good funny one.
Funny movie.
Yeah. That's good.
Okay, top.
Okay, we've made it to my top pick. My top pick for rom-coms is far and away You've Got Mail.
It is so good.
You've Got Mail is a movie that these children today know nothing about.
No.
You've got mail. It's all about the dawn of the internet
mm-hmm.
and how the internet changed how we interact with each other mm-hmm. and who we have access to. And it's just, I love every single, this is not only my favorite rom-com, this is my favorite movie of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love it. Every time I watch it, I laugh, I cry. Like, it is a whole, like,
it's got
whole
the experience. Moments too. It's oh, got the moments. Yes.
Okay, so let's break it down. Oh,
Shop Girl.
One of the things that I feel like is so great about it is the music in it is beautiful. Like, really good music, really good, like, memorable musical moments, like, within that movie. I love it. Also, Tom Hanks, I would watch Tom Hanks do anything.
He's amazing. Like, I can't wait to see him in the Mr. Rogers.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I would watch Tom Hanks do anything.
Everything. Even bad movies he's done, I love.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
And the Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan combination, in this movie in particular, I love. I think that is their best movie together. Now, some might say...
I like Sleepless in Seattle. Okay,
yeah, see, that's the thing. Some people might say that Sleepless in Seattle is their favorite. I
love Sleepless in Seattle.
I think Sleepless in Seattle is... It's too gloomy for me.
I love Sleepless in
Seattle. It doesn't have enough of the, like... I don't know. It doesn't have enough of the, like, lighthearted moments.
It
or
doesn't
the funny
fit
moments.
In the rom-com
no,
category
it's
at
a
all.
Chick flick, for sure. But it just, like, it's not... It's too gloomy for me. And I feel like their connection in that, like, they're not really, like... together in that very much. Like, no. It's very separate. And in You've Got Mail, they have way more moments where they're kind of, like, going back and forth. And that is, like, the part that I love. Like, that back and forth, or the arguing, or, like, that's what I think is, like, really funny and, like, relatable and fun.
Yeah.
And I also think that Meg Ryan's style in that movie
I know.
Is, like, it's so 90s.
Yeah.
But it's so cute. Like, everything she wears, I'm like, that is so cute. Like, it's just very, like, because I feel like she just has this very specific aesthetic, and you, like, you know people who were that person.
Yeah.
Like, I know who that girl is. Like, she makes sense to me. And I just, I love everything about that movie. And I think it has really witty writing. And, like, it's one of those movies that you can watch again and again. You might hear, like, different parts or, like, different things that stick out.
Yeah.
It has great quotes in it. It's, and, like, in their emails back and forth to each other, one of the things they talk about in that movie is, the back to school season.
Yeah.
And he talks about, like, how he wants to buy school supplies, and he thinks about, like, a bouquet of, like, sharpened pencils.
Yeah.
And, like, I think about that all the time, and, like, I think it's so funny, and I just, I really love it. Yeah. It's just so good. And, the moments in this movie, okay, I feel like there's also moments where it's, like, really tears out your heart, like, when she has to close down her shop.
And she's dancing with her mom.
Yes! And it's just so, like, I cry every time. And then she's, like...
Go ahead.
And there's also the part of, like, she is a children's bookstore owner, and, like, I love Kids Lit. I think it's so great. Like, that's one of my favorite things about being a teacher, is that there's times where I get to just read to my kids, and we just get to, like, enjoy books together. Yep. And I love it so much. And, like, I feel like whoever wrote that also has that love. Like, you can tell that it's the same.
Yep.
And the very end, I feel like this is, like, the end of You've Got Mail is, like, super memorable. But the end of You've Got Mail is one of my favorite parts.
You can't see me right now.
She's dabbing her
eyes. I'm dabbing my eyes. When he dabs her eyes. Don't cry, Shop Girl.
And, like, when she cries, like, I wanted it to be you. I didn't, like, and, like, it's just, and the music, and the dog.
The
best.
Barkley.
It's okay. And this movie too, this is something I found out about this movie is based on a really old Jimmy Stewart movie.
Yes.
That I watched. Have you watched it?
No.
It's called Shop Around the Corner.
Yeah.
Which is the name of her mom's bookstore.
Yeah.
In it. But it's black and white. Jimmy Stewart. I don't know who the girl is in it. But it's great, too.
I'm going to have to watch it. I've thought about watching that, too.
It's basically You've Got Mail pre-internet.
Yeah.
And the You've Got Mail is just the update.
Yeah.
With the email and the internet. It's really good.
I love it. One of my favorite parts in that is when he realizes, so he's talking to his dad, who's on, like, what, wife three or four or whatever, and he mentions something about, you know, finding the one that he just wants to spend time with, finding, like, that one. And he realizes, like, wait, the person I really want to spend time with is this person who hates me right now.
Yeah. Well, and he's not sure that he likes her that much in the beginning either.
No, they don't. But then when he figures out that it's her that's been writing all those emails and he knows the other side of her, he kind of, like, thinks about her, but not 100%. And then he realizes that girl in the email is who he wants to be with. Yeah. And it's that girl.
Yeah.
And so all this stuff he does, like, kind of undercover.
Yeah.
To get her to where he is, and then they kind of move together in their relationship. He takes so much care and so much time. It's just so nice. Also, really, I feel this falls a little bit under the unexpected, or our unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
For everything that he, like.
Yeah. The fact that they like go from, like, hating each other to falling in love.
I feel like probably
the people you hate are going to continue to be the people that you hate.
I love it.
But yeah, it's really good. It's really sweet. And, like, I love the scene where they set up to meet, and then he shows up and he figures out that it's her. And so then he shows up and he just, like, messes with her.
He does.
And, like, it's just...
So he showed up, but he didn't show up. Yeah. She doesn't know he showed up.
But then, like, this guy that she hates is there and he's, like, messing with her. And, like, I feel like you rarely get to see Tom Hanks be, like, a little, like...
Yeah.
You know.
Shady.
A little shady. Or, like, a little bit, like, mischievous.
Yeah.
And I'm here for mischievous Tom Hanks.
I do love that.
And yeah, it's
such
just
a good movie.
it's my favorite of all time.
I feel like I have to go back.
I know.
I also own,
like,
that on DVD.
So do I. Oh, like, can I? Okay, but here's the thing. Here's my issue with my DVD copy of You've Got Mail. It's my favorite movie of all time, and the only copy I have of it is a split copy with Must Love Dogs.
Oh,
have you watched Must Love Dogs?
I don't like Must Love Dogs.
It's terrible.
I think it's dumb.
And I will never watch it. And one side is Must Love Dogs, and the other side is...
Oh, no.
You've Got Mail.
No.
So,
I don't like Must Love
Dogs. And the cover is literally, like, split.
Yeah.
And, like, it just makes me a little sad, because every time I pull it out, I think, like, well, I hate that movie, but I love You've Got Mail so much. It's like, I feel like for my favorite movie, I should have one copy that is only You've Got Mail.
I agree.
And I'm a little worried, because I've watched it a lot, and I'm worried that it's going to, like, wear out.
Yeah.
And it's not available to stream anywhere?
No. No, they never are. None of our movies are.
No, but I know I'm thinking, like, should I go watch it tonight? I feel like I might need to.
I might need to pop in something after the kids go to bed.
There you go.
We'll see. So now we're to my number one, and this is actually a movie I've mentioned in previous episodes, because it's got, like, my favorite rom-com scene of all time.
Yes.
It's The Holiday.
Ooh!
We've talked about it before, Cameron Diaz, Jude Law.
Yes.
Kate Winslet, Jack Black. And what I love about this movie is the hope that they're, like, on different areas of the world.
Yes.
And they come together and they meet. And it gives me hope that, like, okay, just because, like, my person isn't in, like, a mile square radius that I know of, my person is still there somewhere.
Could be in England.
Could be in England. And the thing I love about this movie the most, like, I do love the Cameron Diaz and Jude Law storyline.
Yeah.
I do really like that storyline. But to be honest, that's two beautiful people who end up meeting and, oh, we're in love. Done.
Not relatable.
And, oh, what are we going to do? We live in two places, but we're both beautiful and rich. Oh, let's see. Okay, so I do.
Don't you also think that their relationship, like, was more problematic, too, because it's, like, he has those kids and, like...
Oh, yeah. Really she would have to move there.
And do you really foresee he that can't. Happening?
No, and I wonder about that, too. Like, you know, at the end, she stays for New Year's, but then I wonder on the viability of that relationship.
Like, January 4th, what was she doing?
Yeah, so she decides to stay... Was she, like,
finally checking her email for and being New like, Year's. I need to get back to work.
Yeah, like, I... What and how is he gonna leave? Like he can't leave. He can't leave. His whole basis with being a single dad is there. He can't.
Yeah.
So she would have to move there, and she is such a powerful force and a career woman that I don't think she could do that.
No.
So I do love that storyline because I love Jude Law, and the fact that he literally shows up at her door drunk, yes, and like, oh, there it is. You know, like, yeah, everything about that I love. But the Kate Winslet, Jack Black story.
Yep.
Yes, Kate Winslet's beautiful. Okay, but she seems like this beautiful but normal person.
Well, and in that movie, she plays somebody who, like, really is struggling with
struggling. She doesn't person. Really like herself. No. She's been really miserable for a long time.
Yeah.
And she's much more relatable in that fact. And she meets Jack Black. Also, he shows up, but he's in a relationship with somebody else. That relationship goes sour, and as that relationship goes sour, their friendship grows. And my favorite thing is the fact that he does all these things for her as if she were his girlfriend. Like, he writes a song that is her. It's not about her. It is her. And they are just friends, and it seems like something a boyfriend would do.
Yeah.
But then, and she starts to really like him, and then he has to break it off with the other girl. And you think, because I've been in relationships like this where and you have too, we've talked about it in the Unrequited Love episode, where a guy is doing something as if you are dating.
Yeah.
Giving you mixed signals as if you are dating, but you are not, and nothing ever becomes of it. In this case, he's giving her mixed signals as if they are dating, and they end up dating.
Yeah, but don't you think that that's the problem with, like, why we allow for people to kind of, like, fuck around with us for as long for sure. as they 100%. Do?
This is an because, unrealistic like, expectation.
You're telling yourself that, like, oh, this could work out differently, but, like, how often?
Yeah, exactly. But the fact that it does, and then he's just kind of really, like, off to the side, like, hey, if I come to England for New Year's, would you be my date? And she's like, okay.
Yeah.
And I just kind of think, like, that relationship has a little bit more staying power because she loved L.A.
Yeah.
It would be easy for her to move to L.A.
Well, and what was left for her in London? Nothing.
Nothing. And she could do her job in L.A. And even if she didn't find a job right away, he's a music producer.
Yeah.
In L.A.
Yeah.
And then she can go back and be friends with the little old man that everybody loves, yeah, Arthur. And he's fantastic. And, like, I'm always like, what happened to the little old man? What happens to
that
him?
That movie has really funny moments in it, too.
It does.
It has, like, some pretty funny, like, physical comedy stuff, too, with, like, Cameron Diaz and, like, the house and trying to get things to work.
The and, house. Like... And at one point, she's sitting in the tub and, like, her feet are hanging out the side. And she lives in this mansion and she's in this very, very small
cottage.
Space.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So just the Kate Winslet, Jack Black part, I just absolutely love. I could watch that movie over and over again a million times.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's good. I think that's one of my favorite Christmas movies, too. Like,
oh,
holiday,
yeah,
movies.
Oh, I watch it. That's one of the only, quote, Christmas movies that I watch all year long.
Yeah. I feel like that's the only one that I would really go back to and watch again.
Yeah.
I also won that one. We should watch it this year when we bake cookies together.
Oh, yeah. For our cookie exchange.
Yeah. Last year we did our Christmas baking together for the first time, and it was so fun.
It was really, really fun.
And
didn't producer Elizabeth come too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, it was just really good. And then we had yummies to afterwards, and
yeah,
so we should add the holiday to this tradition.
Yeah, I agree.
We make baked goods and watch the holiday.
And it's, again, a perfect movie to just have on in the background.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, you can do other things while you watch it. It's so good.
Yep.
Ugh. Well, those are the end of our list, but we can do, we'll do an entertainment update in terms of, you know, this is a podcast that loves TV and movies.
We do. We have to fill our time somehow.
I have to fill my time somehow. And honestly, I just really enjoy TV.
Yeah.
So, what have you been watching?
There's only one thing I've been watching religiously. Bachelor in Paradise.
I knew you were going to say
which
that.
It is by far my favorite trash TV show of all time. Like, I haven't even watched The Bachelor or Bachelorette, the last season of each. I didn't watch them at all.
I think it's hilarious because I feel like still most people in Bachelor Nation watch the regular Bachelor seasons but don't watch Paradise because they're like, oh, I don't like Paradise. It's garbage. And you're like, I'm the here other way around. For Paradise only.
I didn't even know these people going in, and I am so invested. And I sit and watch these episodes, and I have, like, four friends that I snap, like, probably 20 times during the episodes, constantly talking about what's going on. I am 100% invested in these couples.
Do you have any hot takes on this season?
No, there's a lot of people that have coupled up where I like one but not the other. Which I think is interesting. And I think they really went down and dirty because they brought in, like, people's exes on the show. Like, and you know they did not, oh, we didn't mean to do that. No, they totally meant to do that to get the drama in there. Oh, it is so good. It is so, so good. I love that show. And I am so, so sad because I think it's this week coming up and then one more week and then it's done.
So how does, like, I know, like, The Bachelor or The Bachelorette finishes by, like, someone proposing. Like, whoever The Bachelor is or whoever The Bachelorette is proposes. And then that is the end. Mm-hmm. How does Paradise work?
So multiple proposals. So you can have two people propose, you can have nobody, you can have five people propose.
Does that happen?
Yes, it does. And then you can also leave the show with, you know, I'm not going to propose,
But we're together
and we're going to see if we can make this work. In fact, last season's couples, Kevin and Astrid, just now got engaged. Though they left the show together.
Is he a fireman?
He is.
I think
they kind of didn't leave the show together. He left, and then she left, but then they reconnected afterwards, and now they're getting married. Joe, the grocery store owner, and Kendall also broke up at the end last year, but now they're together.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody knows the Ashley Iaconetti and Jared story.
Because everybody knows
they were friends
story.
And she was in love with him. And then she started dating Kevin the fireman. And that's when Jared figured out that he really loved
her.
And then he kissed her. And then she broke up with Kevin the fireman. And then started going out with Jared, and now they're married.
Wow.
But now Kevin the fireman's marrying Astrid, and it all worked out.
Oh, thank God.
So there is so much. I just love it.
I don't know. I feel like that show is hard for me to invest. Well, I'm not really a reality TV person to begin with. I know I am very close with a lot of people who very much are reality TV people. So this does not come from a place of judgment. It just comes from, like, I just can't invest. Like, I don't have the capacity to invest. And you know why I think this is? I think it's weird that if we were watching and it was, like, totally fiction, I would just be like, I could get behind it. But the fact that, like, it's not, and that, like, these people, like, then go on to, like, be Instagram famous or, like,
oh yeah,
that's the part where it's just, like, it loses me because I'm just like, I don't know, it all feels, like, icky to
a
me,
lot of
a
them become, like, A-listers.
Yeah,
for what reason?
But I just think I don't know, like, that part is just, like, weird to me and, like, icky to me because it's like, I don't know, like, they're really wanting strangers who don't know them to watch them on TV and invest in their like love lives, mm-hmm. and then they want to monetize that for future like endeavors.
I keep saying I really think they need to make a Bachelor or Bachelorette with regular looking people.
Oh, that's my other beef with it. It's all beautiful, not relatable people at all. It doesn't feel like literally it's just beautiful people arguing about whether or not they want to be with each other. I don't think there's
ever
been
like a woman over a size 6 on that
show
ever.
No.
But I think they should just take like a regular dude.
Yeah.
And regular women.
But people wouldn't want to watch it. Part of what makes people want to watch it is it's these beautiful people.
I don't know. I feel like people might want to watch it because of the train wreck that it would be.
No, it's because all these beautiful people go on and then operate as though they're in a soap opera.
Yeah.
That's why people want to watch it, because like all these people agree to be like, that's the draw of a soap opera. Beautiful people, high drama, beautiful clothing.
Yeah.
Like, and then, so like, that's what gets you in. Like, yeah.
And I don't even know, the Bachelor and Bachelorette shows, I feel like are a little bit too long for me and drawn out. But so I don't usually watch those, mm-hmm. but I watch the extras, like The Bachelor in Paradise, The Bachelor Winter Games. Like, I just love them so much.
I love that you have something that brings you so much joy. I just love both my sisters.
I know, and several other friends. It. They are part of my snap chain during Bachelor in Paradise.
Commit.
I know.
I tried.
I know.
I tried.
Well, and what I do like. Is I can sometimes mention things that happen on it to you, and you know about it because others, even though you're not watching it. So I feel like I still have talk context to you about it.
Yeah. And I know of some people from like different things.
Yeah.
Or like from Dancing with the Stars and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. What's your entertainment update?
So I started watching, The Crown.
Oh, I've heard about that.
For the first time. It's been recommended to me several times by several people, mm-hmm. and it's one of those shows that I've always meant to start, mm-hmm. and I just haven't. And for people who love Downton Abbey, it is in the same vein.
Yeah.
Kind of. So this is, Downton Abbey is British soap opera.
Yeah.
So that's what Downton Abbey offers. It's, again, beautiful people, beautiful clothes, high drama.
Yeah.
Like long looks with long like orchestral music.
Yeah.
And British people who talk very quickly.
Yeah.
The Crown, beautiful people, beautiful clothes, high drama, but it's more of a like, it's more of a like fictional retelling. It's like more like a documentary.
Oh, yeah, of that.
Whereas
time.
Like Downton lives completely in a fictional world.
Yeah.
Where like realistic things happen.
Right.
But this is like about the queen.
Yeah.
So, and it's like pretty accurate. Like then some of the episodes I've like looked like up the Wikipedia page and like read about what's happening, and like so far it's been like really accurate. And it's just been like really interesting, and it gives you like a whole perspective on the like the royal family, and like it's just really interesting, and like the history nerd in me loves it. Yeah. And I feel like I'm learning so much, and I'm like 4 or 5 episodes in to the first season, and the episodes are kind of a commitment, so I feel like it's gonna take me a while to
are they like a full hour
it. Yeah, and some of them are like longer than an
oh
hour.
Yeah, that's a whole commitment. Like, well, Downton Abbey was that way too.
Yeah, like the other day I decided like, oh, I can watch one real quick before bed, and I was like an hour I was like an hour or so in. I like paused it because I was like, surely we're getting like close to the end, and then there was still like 10 to 15 minutes left, and I was like, oh my god, I'm so tired. But they're really good. I really like it. And like all the actors on it are really talented, and I just love British people.
I know, I do love British people.
Yeah, so it's been really good, and I feel like it's one of those things that I'm excited to watch because I've like wanted to watch it for a long time. Just hadn't gotten around to it.
I might have to pick that up. I don't know. For those of you who don't know, I got rid of cable altogether. So I have Hulu and Netflix. And I have the cheap Hulu.
Oh, I have the cheap Hulu too.
The $6 a month Hulu. So
mine came free with my Spotify.
I know,
membership.
Mine did not. I looked it up. It was a like a little deal thing. Yeah. But, you know, $6 a month I can do. Yeah. But so I'm now looking for other streaming shows that I can watch.
Yeah.
Because my normal, like, turn on the TV at the end of the day, and have it on, like, watch repeats of shows I can't really do anymore.
Yeah.
So, I might have to look at The Crown.
Oh, I also recently watched the newest season of Dear White People on Netflix.
Have you ever watched Dear White People? I've heard of it.
It's very good. Also, kind of like a soap opera. This is like college soap opera with people of color. but it's also like, it's like, has comedy aspects. Mm-hmm. It's like equal parts comedy, commentary, and soap opera.
Okay.
I'm here for it.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. And those are very quick. Those are like 20.
I do like those.
28 minute episodes, and there's only 10 episodes in a season. Mm-hmm. So that, those are the ones where you start, and by the time you get done, you're like, oh, I'm already done. Like, ugh. But yeah. So that's what I've been watching.
Okay.
Oh, I also watched I apparently have a lot of TV updates.
Oh, I guess so.
I also watched the newest season of Queer Eye.
Yeah.
It came out right around the time I was moving. And then I was like starting school and I was like, I'm too busy to feel things. I'm going to need to wait. But that was very good too. Yeah. How far into Queer Eye have you gotten?
I'm still in the first Netflix season.
Yeah. So I would say continue on, because it's very good.
I do like Queer Eye.
The newest episodes are really good.
I feel like every entertainment thing has been taken to the wayside lately with school.
Yeah, it's hard. So it's hard to fit it in. That's why I feel like The Crown's going to take me a while.
Yeah. But that's okay. You've got time.
So those are our entertainment updates.
Yeah.
That's it.
So if you have any entertainment updates you'd like to say or any rom-coms you'd like to add, you can send us a tweet at Party of Ones, 1S, on Twitter, or you can email us at partyofones.podcast@gmail.com. And we'd love to hear what you have to say about that. And we hope you have a great week, and we will be seeing you soon. Bye.